The following content is from Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters, a gospel-driven high-adventure camp in western North Carolina. Go to swoutfitters.com to learn more about our camps and conferences. Enjoy the message.
How are you guys doing? Good. Hey, my name's Spencer, if I hadn't had a chance to meet you yet. Yeah, I wanted to show that video, first off, because it's awesome. It's super funny. But it just kind of... I watched an adult video too on like what is love, and to be honest, the answers were just as confused. There was a 62-year-old man who tried to answer what is love, and he might as well have said, I can do kicks. Like, his answer was terrible. And I think it's so important that we do a conference like this talking about love and sexuality and purity, because our culture is so confused about what love is. Like, we talk about it nonstop. Every song is about it. Every movie is about it. But our culture's so confused. You know, our culture says, you know, that love is a good match, or love is sexually exciting, or love is like planning out romance, or it's a feeling that you get. If you look at our songs, you would think love is just about sex. But I mean, we are culturally just so confused as to what real love is. You even look at our tagline right now in America about what love is love is love. And we think we're saying something profound, but we're bottoming out. We're saying the exact same thing that kid in that video did. Love is loving somebody. Well, you know what I'm saying? So I think it's so important that we go through this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, that really tells us what love is. So let's turn there, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Man, I loved that sermon last night. It's such an important passage to define what love is for us. And to me, that part of the passage kind of reminds me of, y'all ever play that game, Would You Rather? I love that game. What the big debate, I got three Would You Rathers that are the big debate in my house. So I got two middle school kids and one high school kid. And one of the big debates is, would you rather be able to teleport, like, poof, poof, like disappear from here and appear anywhere you wanted to, or fly? And like flying, though, you had to like, and like you'd travel at normal speed. What? How many of y'all would rather teleport? Me too. How many of y'all would rather fly? Okay. All right. Mixed. All right. The second big debate in our household is, would you rather always have wet socks or rather have a rock in your shoe always? Wet socks? Y'all crazy. Rock in your shoe? All right, the last one. And this is the one that my kids are split on, but they're very passionate about. Would you rather have the most musical talent in the world? You can play anything, you can sing anything, your concerts are sold out, or you have the most athletic talent in the world that you could do any sport? How many say musical talent? Athletic talent. Split down the middle. All right, so last night, I'm on the sports side of things on that one. Some are like, you crazy. Last night, that passage almost like plays like, you can imagine an early, like way back in the day of the church, you can imagine them playing it out like a would you rather, almost like, okay, would you rather have this great speaking ability to where you can speak like an actual angel, or would you rather have love? And the next one's like, would you rather have all understanding or would you rather have love? And the third one's like, would you rather have all faith to where you could move mountains or would you rather have love? And here in the scripture, it's saying, no. If you don't have love, you got nothing. You got nothing. And so in the scripture, love is prized above knowledge and even like faith. It's a crazy verse that it kind of rattles your value system. And I think what it shows me is that I don't value love like I should. It's probably because I'm confused, or we're confused as a culture on what love is. Now, obviously, this is a purity conference. And so, you know, a lot of purity conferences will just focus on, hey, don't have sex before you're married. Don't look at stuff you shouldn't on your phone. And those things, there's truth in those things, obviously. There's serious warnings in the scripture. We're going to cover some of that. But like, if you think about it, with these issues of pornography or sex before marriage, there's a deeper issue going on. There's a heart level issue going on. Like, you can't just say to somebody, hey, don't do bad stuff, do good stuff. okay, you convinced me. I'm in. Like, especially because, like, part of us, to be honest, if we're Christian, part of you still kind of wants to do bad stuff. So you got to get deeper and address the heart issue. And really here, we got to zoom out to see what sort of person we're becoming. How do we love people right now? I'm not talking about future marriage love. How do we love people right now? Because who we're going to be in marriage one day, we're becoming that right now. You know what I mean? Like, your wedding day doesn't, like, transform you into all of a sudden you're some selfless person that loves perfectly. Like, who you're becoming someone right now. And so what this passage is doing is it's showing us what love is. And Brody talked about that last night, that love is defined in Christ, his agape love that's poured out on us. And now the rest of this passage is talking about, how do we take the love that Christ has poured out on us and pour it out towards others? How do we bend that out towards one another? So in our passage here, we're going to be in verse 4 through 6 of 1 Corinthians 13. And what Paul's going to talk about when he's talking about love, he's not going to be talking about romance or compatibility or attraction and happiness and chemistry. He's going to take love and, like, put it in real life terms and, like, the nitty gritty. And what I want you to see, what I want you to think about, we're going to look at 11 qualities of love. In Greek, they're verbs, they're action words. They act on someone. What I want you to do is I want you to take these 11 qualities and see how you personally stack up right now. Not like how future marriage you stacks up. I'm talking about you right now. So hold yourself up to this and see how you stack up, all right? Let's look at these 11 qualities. I'll read the verses and then we'll go through them. We've got to move through them quick because we've got a lot of ground to cover. Love is patient and kind. Love doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. All right, we're going to roll through these 11 quick, but I want you to think about, do I love people like this today in my family, my friend group? Number one, love is patient. What do you think of when you think about patience? Waiting in line, waiting in traffic. All right, I got time to tell you a quick story. All right, so my oldest daughter's 15 and she just got her learner's permit. How many of y'all drive already? Okay, so I don't know what y'all DMV is like, but in this town, it is horrendous. There's one employee and he's moving at a pace that's like, you ever watch Zootopia with the that sloth flash? Thank you. Yes, literally works in that office. And so, like, every single person in line, it's 30 minutes for each person. So if you walk in there and you're like, oh, there's 10 people in here, you got 5 hours. You know, so every person's really important. So me and my daughter's name's Alani. And me and Alani get out of my truck in the parking lot and we're walking towards the door and I'm thinking, all right, Alani, if there's two people, it's an hour. If there's three people, it's an hour and a half. We just got to see if this is a good day to go. And we get out of the truck and next to us, like, this Crown Vic opens up and this lady who's about this big and 100 years old gets out of the car and she starts moving towards the door like this. And everything inside of me wanted to be like, let's go, Alani. Hammer down. Let's go. We got it. Because that lady represents 30 minutes of waiting. And I was like, oh my gosh, we got to beat this lady. But I was like, okay, we got to play it cool. And so, like, this lady gets to the door right behind her, you know, and we're like, I can't just blow by this. Not with my daughter right here. I can't just blow by. So basically, we go into the door and the way it's set up. All right. So the DMV is like, there's a waiting room when you first go in, but that's not where you need to go. Past the waiting room, there's a kiosk. You got to go check in at the kiosk, and then you double back to the waiting room. And I know that because I've been to the DMV recently. And so me and my daughter walk in, and I've done so good, y'all, because I wanted to hammer down and just pass this lady, and I'd be 30 minutes ahead. But I was like, I'm going to be patient. Well, this old lady, she's going like this and headed towards the kiosk, but I can see that she's confused a little bit. And so she turns and heads towards the waiting room. Now, I could have said something. Like, hey, you need to check in at the kiosk first, but I did not. And so I just walked straight towards the kiosk. I'm like, come on. And so I clicked in and I was at the kiosk for about 2 minutes and I could feel this lady right here. And I could tell she was looking at me, but I was like, ooh. I kind of had that feeling like, does she know what I just did? because I know what I just did. I knew those guys were going to tell her the right way to go. It wasn't like technically cutting in line. And so we go in the room and we sit down in this waiting room and she's sitting right across from me and we sit for like 2 hours, right? And so this one guy, after a while, he's like, hey man, how long you been waiting? I said, I've been here since about 2. And the lady across from me says, yeah, I came in at 2. And I was like, yeah, we came in about the same time. And the lady says, yeah, you jumped in front of me at the kiosk. Yeah, I just kind of froze. I was like, and I was like, I'm so sorry. She's like, that's all right. She had a good sense. She was really spunky. She had a good sense of humor. She's like, that's all right, baby. I got all day. I'm good to go. And so we're just talking whatever. And so we're waiting. And now I'm feeling a little bit awkward. My daughter's in there. I know I've kind of like jumped in front of this lady. And so so our numbers are up on there's a TV screen and the numbers are up on the screen and our number's like D11 and hers like K12 or something. And so I see we're coming up next. I'm like, Alani, get ready. We're coming up next. They're going to yell D11. And so they get on the loudspeaker and K12. And it's the lady's number. And so she gets up and she comes over to the door. But before she goes out the door, she stops right by me, leans down and says, I still beat you. And I was like, oh, I love you. Like, it was so good. But, like, that happened not long ago, and today I'm teaching on patience, all right? So love is patient. All right, when we think about patient, we think about waiting in a waiting room. Hey, he's such a good waiter. He waits around so good. That's not what it's talking about. We're talking about love is patient. Literally, the word here means long-suffering, like slow to anger, slow-tempered, long-fused. When you think about patience, what is impatience? Impatience is getting frustrated. Why do we get frustrated a lot of times? It's because things don't go our way. I was hoping things would move like this, but they're not moving like that, and so I get frustrated. But the bigger implication of this word is there's going to be times when people aren't just inconvenient to you. Because remember, all these are verbs in Greek. Love is patient towards people. When people are inconvenient to you, but the scope of this word is even when people hurt you, patience is the strength to slow down when you want to blow up. Do you love people like that? Imagine if you had this ability to basically like turn down your emotions when you're wronged. How do you react when you're wronged or inconvenienced? Man, it'd be like a superpower if you could be patient and turn down your emotions. That's how love acts towards other people. Love places other people higher than my emotions. The opposite of love is me first. Second one, love is kind. Love is kind. When we think of somebody that's kind, we think of somebody that's just the sweetest person, somebody that's just so, so nice, but that's not what this word means, really. Patience basically was turning down the emotion of being wronged. Kindness, literally at its root, means returning goodness for being wronged. It's not just waiting through, like if somebody wrongs you. Being kind is someone gives you bad and you turn around and give them good. That's how love acts. Does our love act like that? When someone's rude to us, do we turn around and give goodness? It's not just a sweet attitude, it's strength to return good for bad. Think about the opposite of love is me first. Third one, love doesn't envy. Y'all know what envy is? Envy's basically like jealousy. Like it's I want to be the best. I don't want them to be the best. Why would there be envy between two people? I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? Why, y'all got a rival high school in your town? We do too. All right, so our town is called Andrews. The next town's called Murphy. They played each other in basketball last week. And there's a big rivalry there. Andrews won. But there's a big rivalry there because why? Both teams want to win. Both teams want to be the best. Why is there envy between believers? We want to be the best. We don't want other people to be seen as funny as we are, as good looking as we are, as athletic as we are. We want to be top notch. And so envy even will put other people down so we can be seen as better. Love doesn't act like that. There's a verse in Philippians that says this, do nothing out of envy or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. I did not like that phrase when I first read it. And so I tried to read it in the Greek and it got even worse. It means consider everybody else better than you, like of higher quality than you. And I was like, dang it. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than you. Let each of you look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. What it's saying is, that's how Jesus acted towards us. He looked towards our interests. Envy doesn't want to just do good. Envy wants others to do badly. Man, it's bad when we get to that point. Don't nod your head, but like, you've been there where you want to be seen as the funniest, as the best, and so you kind of rejoice on the inside when somebody else screws up. Man, that's bad. All throughout Scripture, there's terrible examples of that where Satan fell because he's jealous of God. Eve sinned because she wanted to be like God. Cain was jealous of Abel. Saul attempts murder because he's jealous of David. Read this verse from Proverbs. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Whose bones rot? The envious. Man, love doesn't act like that. Envy hates others being lifted up. Love is glad. Remember, the opposite of love is me first. Number four, love doesn't boast. Y'all know somebody that brags a lot? Yeah, everybody does, and everybody hates that, right? And so a lot of times, we always want to be seen in a good light, right? We don't ever want to be look like an idiot or whatever, you know? Like, we always want to be seen in a good light. Most of us, you know, you got some people that are terrible at bragging. Some people say things like, oh, good grades just come natural to me. You know, like, all right, man, shut up, you know? I'm always getting mistaken for a model. No, you're not. You know, like, but a lot of us, like, we get really subtle in bragging, pointing out where we're doing things good. I love the quote, empty trucks make the most noise. You ever heard that? Empty trucks make the most noise. Man, if you can grow to be a person of humility right now, man, you'll be so far ahead in life. Humility makes others look superior. Remember John the Baptist, he said, he, Christ, must increase, I must decrease. The opposite of love is me first. Number five, love is not arrogant. All right, boasting is saying I'm better. Arrogance is thinking I'm better. This is going all the way to our thoughts and our opinions. The word literally means puffed up. Love is not puffed up with arrogance. If you are puffed up with the opinion that I'm best, I'm never wrong, that's going to start leaking out into your relationships. And love is dying to the opinion that I am the best, I'm the smartest, I'm the first. The opposite of love is me first. Number six, y'all doing good? Y'all hanging with me? I know there's a lot fast, but this is, it's crucial that we look at ourselves and say, oh gosh, do I act like this? Number six, love is not rude. Love is not rude. Boasting is saying I'm better. Rudeness is acting like I'm better, right? Boasting says I'm better. Arrogance thinks I'm better. Rudeness acts out I'm better. Me first, me first. What I mean by rudeness? Rudeness says, I don't really care how this affects your happiness. We have a rule in our house. Okay, so I've been married for 17 or 18 years, 2006, whatever that is. And my wife's great. Her name's Amy, and she can't smell at all. Like, she doesn't have the ability to smell, which is blessing and a curse, you know? So, like, good things, like, she doesn't know. Well, I'll tell you where it was bad. When we had little kids and they would need a diaper change, she never knew. So she had to set a timer to check their diapers and be like, ding, oh yeah, gotta check and see if the kids are messy, you know? She can't smell if stuff's burning. But here's one thing that's weird is, like, since she can't smell, chewing gum grosses her out. And I was like, why in the world does chewing gum gross you out? And it's because, you know how if you chew like minty gum, it like cools your nose and mouth, you know? That sensation, since she can't taste it, it freaks her out. And it makes her like nauseous. And so I don't know why, but she, like, if you're chewing gum and she's eating a meal, she'll stop eating because she just gets so nauseous or whatever. She'll, like, you know, do that funny little gag thing. Ugh. And so, like, me and my kids, we have a rule. Do not mention gum at the table. It's kind of a weird rule for a family to have, but that's, like, one of our main rules in our house. Like, oh, don't you dare bring gum. The worst is if you were to bring gum and, like, put it on the plate, it's like, hell, heck no. And so, like, we have a rule. Now, there's nothing wrong with chewing gum, right? But we as a family, we're trying to be loving to Amy, my wife. What we're doing is we're putting our preferences, lower than her enjoyment of meals. We're trying not to be rude. Love is not rude. The opposite of love is me first. Number seven, love doesn't insist on its own way. This is the key. Love doesn't insist on its own way. This is, if you were to sum up this whole thing, this is what you should write on your mirror. This is what you should, put as your lock screen on your phone. Love doesn't insist on its own way. The opposite of love is me first. You can see this everywhere through all these, and we can go through all the rest of them. Love isn't irritable because it wants its own way. Love isn't resentful. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Love doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing because it wants to be up high. Love rejoices with the truth. But when you look at all these, it really just boils down to love doesn't insist on its own way. It doesn't say me first. How are you stacking up to this list? How's not your marriage love in the future? How today are you stacking up to this list? I'll be real. We all want to be loved like this, right? We all want someone to treat us like this, but very few of us are really prepping to love other people like this today. Are we working to love other people like this today? Because again, marriage is not just going to transform us into a person who's not rude if we've been rude for the last 18 years. You know what I mean? When we look at this list, here's some hope. When we look at this list, what we see is really, it's describing God's love. At the core, this list is describing God's love. These qualities, love is patient, love is kind, is showing us what God is like. Because, and Brady talked about this last night, it's a description of Jesus' love, that God is patient with us. God is kind. Jesus didn't boast or insist on his own way. He said, the Father's will be done. God keeps no record of our wrongs. He nailed them to the cross. The God who never forgets chooses to forget your sin. That is wild when you think about this is the way that God loves us. And so you got to know that only God can rightly say his love always trusts. His love always hopes. Only God can say my love never fails. Y'all, I'm going to tell you now, no husband or wife, no boyfriend or girlfriend can be God for you. Nobody can love perfectly, even the best spouse, but this is how God loves you. But now we're called, even though we can't live up to these standards, we're called to strive to love one another with the love that Christ has loved us with, because he's put that love inside of us. We're supposed to love other people through Christ's love. He's loved us like this. We got to bend that out towards other people and love through the strength that he provides. It's his kindness. It's his patience. How do we do this? And read this last part. How do we do this? It's going to take us dying to self. Y'all have heard that phrase in scripture a lot. You got to die to yourself. Die. What does that even mean? I'm going to read this verse, John 12. Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Think about that. When you think about a tree, like an apple tree, something like that, this apple tree has life, you know, it's living, and then basically it falls to the ground. The seeds in there, it stops life as it was. It dies and sprouts new life. You think about what better picture is there of agape love? If it dies, it bears much fruit. To love other people means dying to self. Listen to this. Being patient means dying to the desire for my way now. Being kind means dying to, you hurt me, now I'm going to hurt you. Having no envy means dying to the desire for all the praise. No boasting means dying to opportunities to make myself look good. Not being arrogant means dying to the internal opinion that I'm the best. Not being rude means dying to I'm what matters, not your feelings. Not seeking our own way means dying to my way first. You see it? The opposite of love is me first, me first, me first. Self-love is the enemy. Now, this weekend, we are focusing on lust and pornography and sexual relationships, but at the core, those things say me first. You know what I'm saying? At the core, those things are selfish. They have very little to do with love. They're more about taking. They're centered on me first. And I want to set y'all up for success to have the happiest marriages possible. But to do that, we're going to have to transform how we love one another right now. Because if we're selfish and rude in every relationship right now, you know what we're going to be when we hit marriage? Selfish and rude. Now, we look forward to being married for a decade, and probably a lot of you guys are going to be married. And all of us want to be loved like this, and we're, you know, you guys are looking forward to like the feelings and the closeness and the sex and the attraction, and all those things are good, good things. But if we're not careful, we go into marriage like hoping in a really self-centered way, thinking marriage is going to make my life complete. The closeness is going to make me happy. Sex and attraction is what I want. Me, my. We don't go into it with an attitude of loving someone else selflessly. We go into it expecting, ooh, I can't wait to be loved like this. So unless we have this huge shift in our thinking, people get married. We see it all the time. People get married and then they're like, this is a big ripoff. I'm going to read this. Love is not feeling alone. Emotion's crucial, but emotion isn't strong enough to make a marriage. Sex is amazing, but it's not enough to carry a marriage. Common interests are important, but they won't take you through the tough times. We need Christ's love in and through us. Love is action and strength. Love is commitment. Love is others first, dying to self, and then pouring out to one another the love that Jesus poured into us. See, Christ is the source and the example of love. Y'all, if you can spend time with Jesus, he's going to start transforming your relationships and your love right now. He's going to start transforming you into the kind of person that patiently and selflessly loves others. And when the day comes when two people with Christ-centered, Jesus-filled love enter into a marriage, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be hard at times. It's going to be work all the time. But there's going to be so much joy as you prefer one another and love one another with the deep Christ's selfless agape love.
Thanks for listening. We hope this has encouraged you in your walk with Christ. Be sure to give us a rating and review. And for more Snowbird content, check out our other podcast, No Sanity Required.